Welcome back, everybody, to a fantastical edition of The Work. This is Bonnie Gillespie, not Ryan Basham, welcoming you to episode 14 of The Work. I am joined today by producer, engineer, and haysayer Keith Johnson.
Hey.
Yeah, and so we've also brought in reinforcements to help cover the job of Ryan Basham. We have Carolina Gropa helping us out today.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Carolina.
Welcome, Carolina. Not Ryan. Not Ryan. And, of course, special guest for episode 14 coming at you on April 3rd of 2011 is Jermaine Johnson.
I'm also not Ryan.
We miss you, Ryan. And he will be gone for 2 weeks. He's on location for a project that he is producing out of town. Let's just jump right into some news with Carolina.
Some news. All right. Well, everybody, at least almost everybody I know, seems to have an iPad these days, right? So The Hollywood Reporter is reporting Cablevision has launched this app called Optimum, and it allows all the customers to experience digital cable on your iPad. You get access to 300 channels, and it's free, and you don't need internet access to use it.
So how does that work?
I don't know how it works.
This is direct competition with Time Warner, because Time Warner started this 2 weeks ago.
They just had to pull a bunch of channels, though.
For the iPad?
Of course they did.
Yep, because they didn't own them.
So sneaky, sneaky bastards.
You can only get certain,
channels.
Certain,
so I guess approximately 300 channels really means four.
It probably with these guys, it means 300 channels, but I'm willing to bet 173 of them are music channels.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Because Cablevision has a right to distribute programming. Yeah, that's interesting. So, I mean, I guess how much music can one watch?
On their television, iPad.
On your iPad.
Right. It's sort of like when you go to YouTube to look up a music video and it turns out to just be a still of the band.
Yeah, I hate
with
that.
The music. I hate that.
Or
so
somebody
much.
Else's montage of like photos of the band.
Like, you're not that cute.
In other news,
yes.
So Netflix and Fox, they've been in bed for quite some time together. You guys might know that. But on Friday, Netflix announced that they're actually expanding their distribution deal with Fox, which means that now you'll be able to instantly stream Fox's Glee and FX's Sons of Anarchy. You can also now stream Ally McBeal, which is awesome, but The Wonder Years.
Aww.
So you can now watch that show.
Now, okay,
Netflix.
And the cool thing about the Ally McBeal issue is just last week when we had Lindsay Hollister here, she was talking about how David E. Kelly shows have traditionally not gone to DVD, have not been made available after the original airings outside of that first year's reruns, and then some syndication. And so we just noticed Ally McBeal went on sale last week on DVD, and now they're a part of this package, which bodes well for Lindsay to have her Boston Public episodes
Yay,
back
Lindsay,
out there.
Lindsay, if you're listening.
She is. What are you talking about?
Well, of course she's listening.
Well, I just want to chime in here and say that both of the first two stories are actually the same story.
Absolutely.
I was listening to AM radio this morning.
Aww.
And I heard Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and you guys should all check out his podcast and radio show because it's awesome. And he was talking about the content wars and how the vertical integration that was started by Comcast NBC buyout, and now Fox and Netflix, and now Time Warner and their Beam to TV, and everything that we're all talking about. What we're seeing are several very large, vertically integrated content production and distribution entities all vying for your dollar, and we will see where this falls out. I can't wait.
Well, and then this goes back to the whole net neutrality thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago with Trevor and AJ, that it's all part of the same system of if we can control how you get access to the content and how quickly, and so not just how quickly in terms of your internet download, but how quickly in terms of years since it was originally produced, that then really does become a deciding factor in where you spend your money.
I personally went ahead and just invested in Hulu Plus. Really happy about that so far.
How much did you spend?
$8 a month. But, well, look at it like this. I was paying $100 a month on cable.
Right.
And now I pay $15 a month between Netflix and Hulu.
And are you getting to see everything you would get to see on cable?
Everything. Everything. And it's current on Hulu. It's, but
well, you know.
It's all the whole, the MP3 thing. When they were, you know, they were fighting tooth and nail. The record labels were fighting tooth and nail to keep the CD. We're not going to let the CD die. And they ended up screwing themselves because once it all went to MP3s, they were late to act.
Yep.
And they lost out on billions of dollars.
Perfect example.
And we covered this story last week with Blockbuster.
Yep.
Who?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
It is exactly that.
Right on. Well, now here, and I want to mention something that we brought up last week, which was the film that was being advertised on my iPad during Words with Friends as being available for download on iTunes like weeks before it's actually available in theaters.
That's right. And I saw 13 Assassins, and I have to say that if you like Akira Kurosawa type movies, this is a brilliant modern make of the same type of film.
Now, and is this the kind of film that survives on iPad or on your laptop, or does it need to be seen in theaters?
Oh, it absolutely does not need to be seen in theaters. It is, honestly, like a Kurosawa thing, it's an intensely personal experience. And so being on an iPad is exactly the format this.
Well, so there's a new one that got advertised this week during my latest match on Words with Friends, and it's a Hobo with a Shotgun.
Rutger Hauer.
Yes, which is also available for $9.99 before you can see it in theaters by like a month and a half. And I think we're just going to see this happening all over the place.
Well, soon it's going to be available on your iPad, not in theaters.
I'm okay with that.
Right, and I mean, some films, I really think some films are not meant for the big screen. Some films are just better like in a smaller setting. I believe that.
And that's why AMC has gone into film production.
It all ties back around.
Ties back around, guys. We are watching the shape up of a new studio system.
And speaking of studio system, you guys might know Jeff Zucker. You might have heard of him. He stepped down as NBC chief back in January. He just announced that he's actually going to be switching gears a little bit and going into producing, which, how hard is that, right? I mean, if you own the studio. So he's actually, Universal acquired the rights to Daniel Silva. He has a series of books about Gabriel Allon, who was a former Israeli intelligence operative turned art restorer. So he's basically going to be producing that.
The Israeli commando turned haircut guy?
Don't mess with the Zohan.
Oh, yeah, Zohan.
That's right. I never saw it.
That movie did great.
Yeah, it did. Well, I guess this is the great first choice for him then. First project out of the gate to produce.
This will be interesting.
We'll see how he does with it. I mean, this will be interesting to see how, even if you were a head of a studio, can you still be a successful producer?
Speaking of being successful studio head, successful producer, success in all things, let's move over to the interview segment of The Work with Jermaine Johnson.
Yay.
Thank you so much for joining us. Talk a little bit about your background. I know currently you are a voiceover agent at AVO Talent, and I know you had worked in another agency life before. What brings you to LA? How long you been here? Tell us about the road.
Every time I get asked, how did I end up in LA? My answer is change of scenery. I didn't come out here to even remotely end up in the industry. It wasn't a plan at all. I left college and I said, I am moving to LA. It's freezing here in Jersey. And I rather have nice weather. So came out here, worked on the promenade at a shoe store for 6 months.
I didn't know
and
that.
I worked at Journeys. I worked at Journeys, got free coffee at the Starbucks next door.
Nice.
Loitered at the bookstore, you know.
Discount on shoes.
Ran into random celebrities, ran into Mike Tyson coming out of Pinkberry. Eating
now that's
something,
a picture.
Eating, that is a
eating,
sight.
Oh, eating something strawberry and... It really looked kind of, it looked like a feminine dessert, but nobody was going to tell Mike Tyson.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Once you get tattoos on your face, I think that's
you're legit, that's wrong.
Yeah.
All people say to him is, what's up, champ? So, but that's you know, I finished that. I just couldn't do it anymore. It's retail ruins your life very, very quickly, actually. And found an internship at the Getty's agency, who
great
I
agency.
Adore. Yeah, and Getty's and Richard and Nancy, all great people. And interned there for 3 months and wrote me a phenomenal letter of recommendation. And I ended up in voiceover at a voiceover agency.
Do you like voiceover?
I do. It's fun. It's fun to see the people that, like, especially in my office where there's people that have shaped my childhood, people I grew up listening to, and I would never know what they look like. You can walk down the street and bump into these people and not know that that's Goofy.
And they're making a shit ton of money with that voice of theirs.
Exactly.
But they can live their life just totally behind, you know, off the radar.
Exactly. They can walk around just as plain as you and I can.
That's nice.
And it's phenomenal. That's and nice. I envy that, actually.
So what are some of the differences between on-camera agent life and voiceover agent life, since you've experienced both kinds of offices?
The characters, especially because you see more of your clients in a voiceover office because they come in to audition. They come in, you know.
Talk a little bit about that
all the
for
time.
People who aren't aware how that works.
Oh, well, you know, we'll be casting a project. It'll say we're looking for, maybe it's a commercial for Frosted Flakes or something like that, and they just need an announcer, 30 to 40s male, your typical pitch man. Mm-hmm. So we look at our roster, we pick out those guys, we have them come in, and they read it in the office. Some of them have home studios, they can read from home, but you get directed in the office. And it's one of those things where you've got people that book all the time that read from home, you've got people that book all the time and still like to come in and get that direction. They have, you know, their favorite booth director, and you have people that I haven't booked in a little bit, and they want to come in and get directed. And it's nice. You get to see everyone. It's really, you feel like you're more in tune with your clients because they see you every day and they're not afraid to go in the booth, read on something, say, hey, can you come listen to this real quick? Ask for your input. And you say, you know, I like it, but you could have done this. And they will go in and do it, and it'll be great. You know, it's
whereas an on-camera agent may only maybe occasionally get feedback from a casting director on how a client
Exactly. Yeah. And you can't tweak anything in the moment. It's just that's what they threw out, and you really got to hope that they brought their A game that day.
So describe an average day in the office.
None of them are average. I get there at, let's see, we open up at 9:30. I'm there at 9:15-ish, or at least that's what I like to tell my boss. I sit down, I check all my email, you know, between new projects that have come in, between actor submissions, between producers looking for contracts, et cetera, people looking to book people for that day, you know, and that's the funniest thing about advertising. It's a big hurry up and wait game. They'll call you on fire at 9:30 and say, I need this person at this studio in 4 hours, and then you'll say, okay, let me call them, I can do that. And then in 2 hours they say, yeah, we might need to do this tomorrow. So it's a little hectic, it's a little back and forth, but that's a lot of what goes on between dealing with a lot of last second stuff and then having to actually cast all the stuff in front of you and get those auditions out and make sure that everybody's kind of taken care of. All the producers that you are sending auditions to are getting what they're asking for as far as out of your reads. You're not over submitting. You're making sure you're efficiently casting what they're looking for. So we do get to play a little casting director.
That's fun.
You know, yeah. So it's not bad at all. And that is my day.
And your day ends when?
Doesn't.
Got it.
It doesn't.
Now, and I know you and I've gone out scouting before and looking at actors on stage doing, you know, comedic or anything. We went to the Groundlings industry showcase, and we've done things like that before, because of course I'm always looking for that sort of thing in my line of work, and you may not always be in voiceover, so you're looking at actors all the time,
and well,
or for voiceover as
right.
well.
And like, that's the thing, a lot of them are looking for actors with theatrical backgrounds, good actors.
Talk about that.
Well, a lot, I think it's very important. I just saw a Chrysler commercial with Adrian Brody doing the voiceover, and it is phenomenal. That's what they say. You'll get a direction, sometimes a spec, and it'll say, hey, we want a really theatrical delivery.
Interesting.
We would like to have theatrical talent. Please submit your on-camera guys, whatever you have. It helps because they can really deliver the lines with somewhere where you can connect to that person. Instead of it's just a guy selling you on this car, he feels like he's connected to this car, and he's talking about like a foregone era and how style used to mean something, and you really relate to this man while he's talking to you. And you want a Chrysler. You don't know why, because nobody really wants a Chrysler, but you want a Chrysler.
And that's the fault of the voiceover guy, to the credit of the voiceover guy.
And it is. And also, being able to take direction is a big reason why theatrical actors do well when they make that jump, because a lot of people say, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm a voiceover actor. I can do this. And they go in and they deliver something. But if the client wants something different and you can't wrap your head around the redirect, you're never going to get anywhere.
What are some other skills that a successful voice actor needs to have?
I would say they have to be dedicated. Mm-hmm. They have to be just flat out dedicated to learning, doing homework. Commercials your strong point. Watch commercials. Don't TiVo everything and skip through them. Mm-hmm. Watch, listen, hear what the market is buying. Pay attention to that. If animation is your thing, work on more than just two good voices. You know, try and have a range. Have something that when you go into an audition and you pull it out, everybody looks at you and says, "I had no idea you could make that sound." we have a guy. He's 20.
I say that to my wife.
Hey.
Somebody had
well
to
done.
Go there.
Well done.
Right?
Don't encourage him.
I can't help it.
Man.
He's my brother.
I know.
We have a 20-something guy. His name is Hunter Davis. He does Ian McKellen. Spot on.
He's the one you played for me after we went to the Columbia Showcase last year.
It's amazing. You look at this guy, and you don't hear that voice.
Yeah.
He ended up with us because my coworker, Brett Sechrist,
yep.
who I love and enjoy dearly, saw him on YouTube singing. Well, actually, he was speaking the DuckTales theme in Ian McKellen's voice, and it is, you don't know why you're laughing so hard, but it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
I gotta check that out.
It's amazing. He does that, and he does the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He does a few other songs that he's just speaking in Ian McKellen's voice, and Ian McKellen's people actually reached out to him because they were so amazed.
No shit.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
He does a spot on Walter Cronkite too. And that's one of those things. The kid's got raw talent, but we have people that work at this. They make it a point. We have a client with a sound like reel, and he does everything from Richard Nixon to Casey Kasem. And it's amazing, because if you don't know who he is, that's all you hear, and you
those
say,
are
this
two
guy can do
old
that range.
Dead guys.
Yeah, I'm actually too young to be talking
Except
about those people.
Casey Kasem's not dead.
I was going to say, why are you putting him in the grave before he's there? Wow. Ouch.
But range is key. Don't think you can fall back on just one thing, because voiceover is so broad that if you are somebody that has a range, they'll know your name, and then they will use you for everything. You know, the moment they say, can so-and-so do this? Oh, yeah, so-and-so can do this. Throw them down. We'd love to hear them. Let's have them come in for this. Let's have them come in for that. That's what a lot of it's about. It's doing your homework and learning how to play your instrument, because that's what it is.
Well stated. Okay, let's talk money. How much money do voiceover people make? Not voiceover agents. Voiceover
on the high end. It's a high six figure job.
Nice.
It's, you know what I mean, to go in and if you're huge in animation, it's like being a series regular. If you are on an animated series, you go into work, you know, 3 or 4 times a week for 4 hours, and you're getting, you know, and you're getting paid, you're getting residuals
in your
and
pajamas.
At the end of the day, and
of the
you
time,
can go in your pajamas,
right?
And you know you can. I mean, I don't recommend it.
Put on a bra.
You want to go in there, and these people need to look at you and say, this is a good guy that we want to have represent our show as well. So if we're having press or what have you,
you bet.
This is somebody I want to be able to sell, even if we need a face.
I love it. Because respect that it is a business, and that
Absolutely. These
are people who are all in suits, so maybe you should at least put on pants.
Right, and you can't go on Twitter and talk about the most recent tragedy when, mm-hmm. you know, half the market that for their business is in Japan.
Right.
You can't do that.
Yeah, so. Let's talk about that, because he's, of course, speaking of Gilbert Gottfried, who got fired from Aflac due to some inappropriate tweets after the tsunami and earthquake in Japan not too long ago. So you are associated with your voice when you're a pitch person.
Right.
Like that's
And you can't do that, you know?
Same note, James Franco just had to close his Twitter out because he was just tweeting whatever the hell he wanted, and some people that pay him a lot of money were like, you can't be doing that.
Right.
You have to be conscious.
People get Twitteria, though. They get on there and they're just like,
they forget. It's like going everywhere. It's not just where
you
want
from
it to go.
I'm in and out, and I say the most obscure shit possible.
Yeah, you're pretty obscure. I'm always like, that's an inside joke I don't get.
My Twitter just keeps you guessing. That's all I like
that's
to
right.
do. Just keep you on your toes.
That's on brand.
Exactly. It's on brand. There we go. That's it.
Now, speaking of the Twitter, we got some questions from Crix Lee, which of course is Cricket Lee, and she had two questions. One is, I've been wanting to get into voiceover work, including video games, for some time. What's your first step?
Your first step is getting a reel done. Well, that's actually, if you haven't taken a class, you probably want to take a class first. The talent is a big part. But practice makes perfect. It's, you know, it's cliche, it's trite, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably want to take a class first, you know, even if it's a one-on-one course with a casting director or somebody like that you know cast video games, you want to do that. If you really think you have the chops beyond that, then just get your reel made. You can get a reel made without taking a class.
But you don't recommend that, right?
You think the first time
you should have a class,
right?
Sure you're at that level.
Exactly, because you will get a lot of insight that the guy making your reel may not care to give you or know to give you.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you want to take a class and then get your reel put together. And then you can go out and shop yourself to the agencies, the casting directors. A lot of it is, if you shop yourself to the casting directors, they're usually a great in to pitch you to an agency, because if they like you already and they've seen you enough times, or if you took a class with them and you really impressed them, they will pass you on to their favorite agents.
So this is a little different than the on-camera world, in that it could greatly benefit you to get in with a casting director who coaches, not because that could get you cast on their projects, but because they could lead you
exactly.
to your agent.
Exactly.
And really, the agents are the source of all the stuff that's casting and voiceover.
Exactly, because there's maybe 5 major casting directors in town,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And then there's a handful that do freelance casting,
sure.
But your agent is your bread and butter for out here.
Do you have any classes you recommend?
I really like Carol Kimball. I cannot say enough good things about that woman. She is phenomenal, and everybody I have sent to her has said the same. She is just a great woman. And she does one-on-one courses as well that are just amazing, 3-hour intensives, and I got one of our clients just took a 3-hour intensive with her, and he called me on a Saturday to gush about it. And I didn't answer my phone. I was out with my nephews being a good uncle and all that. But he gushed for 3 minutes on my voicemail about her. So,
wow.
Yeah, she's, I cannot say enough good things
That's
about
fantastic.
That woman.
Okay, now, so the other question that came from Crix Lee is how does someone get signed with a voiceover agent? So pretty much that's what we're saying is the easiest way.
Your best route is through casting because we get bombarded with reels all day long.
Do you even listen to them?
I try.
Yeah.
It's one of those things and it's what my boss taught me.
I try is code for no.
No, not necessarily. It's half code for no.
It's code for...
My boss, well, one of the first things my boss said was, he says, you know, I try to listen to as many of these as possible that come in on email. The hard copies, it's a lot tougher.
Hmm.
We're in the digital age. The CD is dead. It's really sad to say.
How many times do you put a CD into a player, whether it's your computer or a music generator? Like, nobody actually does
exactly
that anymore.
And that's why I tell everybody that calls, people that call and they unsolicit, I tell my receptionist, I said, just tell them to email it. That's the best way to do it. If they can email it, I'll at least be able to I'll be four clicks away from listening.
And you take attachments or links?
Attachments are better, in my opinion. That's a personal preference. I can't speak for everybody else. I appreciate the attachment because I've got virus software. I'm not afraid you're sending me a virus, you know? So I will click it, I will open it, I will listen right then and there, because if I have to click a link and then it opens up in my internal browser and then I have to go and I have to adjust the volume, just let it open in my iTunes and I'm good to go.
Cool. Very good.
So.
And are you open to submissions? I know there are going to be listeners who would like to know how to reach you if they want to get something on your radar.
Send them to reception.
Okay.
Send them to reception. That's why it's just one of those things. I have so many other emails that those are the ones that do get thrown by the wayside. Those are the ones that I just click mark as read, and I'll get back to it when I get back to it because I have other things in my inbox that are pressing.
Right.
It's nothing personal, but that's why casting directors are more inclined, where there was a casting director who called me the other day. She was actually calling to give auditions, and she said, and by the way, I have, you know, we have this girl that comes in all the time. She's really great, and she's looking for an agent. Would you mind taking the time to listen to her demo and meet with her? And I said, absolutely. She sent over her demo, and we set her up for the next week. That's why casting really will be your leg up and your foot in.
For agents,
they're on the phone with us all day, every day. They will pitch people that they really like.
Well, and that referral is hugely important because
right.
You trust that casting director's taste.
Exactly.
You've worked with her before, so you get that it's not one of those things that she's taking lightly when she says you need to hear this girl.
Exactly.
Very cool. Let's go to other parts of your life, still within the industry, although we could get personal.
Hey.
Where do you see yourself in? Because one of the things I teased when I was tweeting that we would be accepting questions for you for today's podcast was that you are the future king of Hollywood. I don't know that I've ever met anybody that I immediately thought this kid is going to be running this town in a minute. And I've met a lot of people, so
they can't see me blushing, can
yeah,
they?
Yeah, okay. I can't either.
I'm looking at you, and I can't either. So,
but yeah. It's very cute.
That was a racist joke.
Why Ryan would have made it.
Ryan would. Yeah.
I mean, that was me speaking for Ryan. He was in me. He was like speaking through me.
I think you're filling his shoes more
and
more. Good job, Kaka.
I'm getting better.
Good job. All right. So let's talk about where do you see yourself headed, and what do we need to be on the lookout for with you?
Tough to say. I mean, I'm going to be. It's one of those things where I look myself in the mirror every morning and say I'm going to be around for a very long time. I scare my clients with that. I love it all the time. They say, oh, you're such a baby. And I say, you know what that means. I'm going to be here forever. Mm. I've got a lot of time. I mean, I know that associate producing has been fun with you. It's been great. And it's fun to look at that side of things, the production side of things. A lot of people have said that I am more suited to manage. That's the general consensus, that I am more suited to manage just because of how much I love my clients on a personal level, and it's one of those things, the relationships that I build with them, just as far as wanting to see them succeed. It's one of those things where, okay, I love making sure you get paid, and that's huge, you know, as long as you have to be able to survive out here in order to get ahead. But I like seeing you do things that you love to do, your passion projects, you know, whether it be something that I have no stake in, whether, you know, if you want me to read your script, I will read it and give you feedback.
That's great.
For the sheer fact that I want you to know that I'm behind you in this town.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's so important.
I could,
that's rare.
Rare and important, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think given that the doors are kind of wide. Like, I can really pick and choose where I want to end up as far as the course of what I want to do. I mean, that was kind of a vague roundabout way of saying not sure yet.
No, I get it. No, because you got 80 years to figure it out.
I do. Yeah, black people live to be 110 now. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like you're 30, please. Police.
Oh, I'm going to stay that off forever, actually. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I'll try. Yeah.
Be like, Ryan, lying about your age.
I don't lie. No, I give the Hollywood answer. People go, how old are you? And I say, well, I play late 20s, early 30s.
I love it.
That's
awesome.
That works.
Like, you're not an actor. You're like, nope.
No, absolutely. And then
that's
I get offended.
That's just my ring.
Well, I love it. That's actually on your bio on Twitter. Not an actor.
Not an actor.
I love it. I love it.
Well, everybody asks.
Of course. Yeah. Well, awesome. How can people follow you if they would like to read the inside joke tweets that they will not understand?
It's at IWYK.
What does that mean?
It's who you know.
Yeah.
It was my company that I started in college when I wanted to actually stay in marketing.
Not bad. I know. It works for Hollywood.
I love it. It's the truth. To me, that's the advice I always give. I say, be out there. Be out there meeting people. Go out. I mean, enjoy yourself. But just make yourself available, or else you'll never, you know, if you're a shut-in, you're never going to get anywhere, even if you're a writer. You know, and they're, you know, notorious shut-in writers, it's still hard to move forward that way.
That's
so
right.
Just make
you
yourself available.
You can become a recluse once you're successful.
Exactly.
But you got to get out there and hustle. People love to talk about Johnny Depp, like, oh, he's a total recluse. I'm like, he wasn't when he was on 21 Jump Street.
Exactly.
He was whoring himself out at every party. If there was a velvet rope, he was there.
Exactly.
He knew how to work it.
And he got Nightmare on Elm Street by accident.
That's right.
So, you know, it's one of those things. Just because he was driving a friend to an audition.
So frustrating.
And it's one of those, he was available.
That's not frustrating. That's inspiring.
It's inspiring. Let's switch our perspective.
That's right. You got to be out there. You got to be hustling. Well, Jermaine, thank you so much. I appreciate
Thanks
you
for having
joining
me.
Us on The Work.
All right. Pleasure.
Let's flip back over to Carolina, who is going to take us into the next segment.
So a tip for you guys. Some of you might know this through Bonnie's tweets that I actually intern with her once in a while, known as the Shredder, for those of you who might know.
That is her superhero name.
That's my superhero name, correct? I wonder what my outfit would look like for that.
Yeah.
On the topic of shredding, you know, one of my duties here is opening the mail that everybody sends to Bonnie. And it breaks my heart. Well, at first it did, and then I just kind of got over it. But, you know, just how many actors will spend the money to send stuff, whether it's, you know, 30, 40, whatever cents on a postcard to a headshot, and they won't take the time to do the research, and we'll get things that say, to whom it may concern, dear casting director, please watch my show, please see my shit. It's like, no, they're not, you know? Like, who likes to get that? Like, I know when I get a mail that says, dear valued customer, I don't even open it. So if you're a casting director, why would you even look at that? And if me, a lowly intern, gets frustrated at that, imagine what a casting director must feel like. They're people too, you know?
But do we even see it?
And they don't see it. You know why? Because I shred it. I say, you know what? They don't even take the time to find out who this person is. I'm sorry. I got, it's way too many people up in here hustling. And the people that at least take the time to write, dear Bonnie, you don't know who the hell I am, but you should. They're going to, you know, she's going to look at it. And maybe nothing will come from that because I can't make that happen. But at least you have bypassed the Shredder, and that's the best advice I can give you.
I'm glad you got over feeling bad about that.
I know, because in the beginning, I was like, people spend, and there are some of you guys out there who send stuff to Bonnie all the time, and you don't say to Bonnie. It's like, I see the same postcards, and I'm like, dude, for real? Like, come on, John, like, you know this. We have a relationship with these people, you know what I'm saying?
It's true.
It's so frustrating, and I just, you know, it's like that thing, I'm rooting for everybody. I want everybody to do their thing and whatnot, and Jermaine's got...
Yeah. No, I can't breathe. But no, I just want to add that because I actually did not even think of that. There's tons of phone calls that we get from people that will call and say, hey, I'm wondering about representation, and the receptionist will say, are you a voiceover actor? And they pause. There's that pregnant pause. And yeah, I can do voiceovers. And that's the thing.
See?
It's that between that, the emails I get for actors looking for on-camera representation, which is a department we don't have.
Like, do your homework.
And exactly. And it's huge.
Exactly.
It's
and
huge.
It's the same thing that Bonnie writes about in her column. It applies to everything. If you're not taking the time to do the homework, someone else is, and they're bypassing you, and it sucks, and you can cry to your friends and say nothing's happening, and that you're doing your job, you're sending out postcards.
And Hollywood's
and
so cruel.
And Hollywood's cool.
Yeah.
But really
Fuck
take
that.
The time to look in the mirror and say, are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? And that's all I'm saying.
Good job. Nice rant disguised as a tip.
And rant.
Thank you. That was fantastic. Well done. Ryan would be proud. All right. So let's wrap it up with some not really news.
With some not really news for you guys today.
Okay, wait. I need to interrupt.
Oh.
Because there was something that wasn't covered in the interview.
Oh, okay.
Jermaine, you're an educated man.
I am.
College graduate?
Yes, sir.
What college did you go to?
Rutgers University.
No.
Carolina?
Oh, that's me. Oh, no.
Wow. Okay, oh. So not really news this week. We follow the Snooki, incredible Snooki, who just got paid $32,000 to speak at what college was that?
Rutgers University.
Speak up, please.
Rutgers University.
To speak at Rutgers University. She spoke there. She got paid $32,000, which is $2,000 more than the Nobel Prize winning author Toni Morrison. $32,000. You know what the message that gets you? study hard, but party harder.
I think that's the official slug line for Rutgers. Oh, no, that's Wisconsin at Madison.
Rutgers is heralded as the only school to reject their Ivy League invitation, and we're damn proud of that.
Yeah, and there was a huge outburst.
This is a big step for that.
On Twitter, a lot of alumni and just a lot of current students were like, this is an outrage.
When I went there, our biggest celebrity was James Gandolfini. He would show up at the football games, and Jersey was synonymous with The Sopranos and the Mafia, and it was cool. I have a friend on the planning committee. I called, and
who's your friend on the planning
committee? I can't name names.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Man.
I can't name.
So, but you actually know someone who was responsible for this decision.
Yes, yes. And I called, and I didn't know what to say. But it's, you know, it's money they had to spend, sadly.
And they couldn't bring you over?
I wish they would have. I actually started to say that to her. But it was April Fool's Day, and she was already hurt that I told her that I wasn't her friend anymore. So,
well, and at first we were researching the story.
I researched it. I was like, "There's no way
this is an April Fool's joke."
Because the link we had was Fox reported it on April 1st.
Yeah. Right.
No, that was the story broke on April 1st. But this is what you realize when you do more and more research. A lot of the news sites were starting out with, "This is not an April Fool's joke." It was one of those things where I wasn't surprised entirely. I mean,
no.
You ever been to Rutgers?
Gosh.
Well, that's some really good not really
news.
Thank
you. Great not really news. Yeah.
This was episode 14 of The Work. You can find us at podcastingthework.com, on iTunes, where you should subscribe, rate, and review. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And, of course, on Twitter at twitter.com/the_work. We look forward to seeing you back here for episode 15 next week. Till then, on behalf of Keith Johnson, our engineer, producer, and haysayer,
hey.
Carolina Gropa standing in for Ryan Basham.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
And special guest Jermaine Johnson. I am Bonnie Gillespie. Till next time, keep creating.